Okay, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 7. And what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to wrap up Moses real quick. And then we'll begin on the next great man of God in the Bible, Joshua. So, chapter 7 is the witness of Stephen. And it's one of the great summaries of the Old Testament. I mean, he goes through so much stuff. But he talked about Abraham and then Joseph going into Egypt. And then in verse 18, it says, until another king arose which knew not Joseph. Remember, Joseph was promoted by Pharaoh. And so he was second in command. And Israelites prospered. And then down the road of several generations, a new dynasty took over and they did not know Joseph and they put Israel in bondage. So verse 19, it says, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers so that they cast their young children in to the end they might not live. You know, Pharaoh had this thing where there were so many Israelites and the men were multiplying, and he thought, wow, if these guys get too populous, they'll overthrow us and take over our country. So he decided to kill all the baby males. So in the which time Moses was born, and during that time Moses was born, which is kind of an interesting thing. And he was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's home 3 months. So his mother had him and she nursed him and took care of him for 3 months. They kept him hidden. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own. And we read about this way back in the beginning with Moses, how, they made a little ark and they put him in the river. And then Pharaoh's daughter, it says, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So he was learned, he was trained, he was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And of course, this shows us that he knew he was an Israelite. He knew who he was, where he was from. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian, meaning he killed him. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Supposed means he assumed. And deliver means, it's the same word as salvation or save. He assumed that they understood that God would save Israel by his hand. So way back here when he did this, he knew something. But they understood not. They didn't get it. He thought they would know. That he would take care of them and stuff. And seeing one of them suffered wrong, he defended him. Blah, blah, blah. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and they would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one another? You know, so he came back the next day and he saw two Israelites fighting. And he said, what are you doing? You're brothers. But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Wow. So, you know, if you go back and read in Exodus, Moses thought that nobody saw what he did, but here obviously there was a witness to the murder he committed. Verse 29, then fled Moses at this saying, and he was a stranger in the land of Midian. Midian is Midian, where he begot two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. So he was 40 years old when he left. He was 80 years when he came back. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer, a savior, by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness, 40 years. This is that Moses, which unto the children of Israel a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your fathers, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And this is, from Deuteronomy and way back, and also in earlier in Acts. If you hold your place here and go back to Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from amongst the people. Now, in Deuteronomy, when this is quoted, where this is quoted from, God says, those that don't listen, I will require it of them. And here it says, I will destroy them. So that clarifies that a little bit. Back in chapter 7 again. Verse 38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. Because where was he? He was up on the mount for 40 days getting the Ten Commandments and the law. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, meaning the stars, the heavenly bodies. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch. Moloch was a god of human sacrifice. And the star of your god, Rephim. And that's the star god of Babylon. figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacles of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. You know, Moses was given the blueprints, the plans to build the tabernacle, and they were very specific and exact. It was the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought with Jesus, means Joshua, not Jesus, unto the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. So that's, you know, what it says in chapter 7. So we have many things we've learned about Moses, of course. His life was in danger as an infant, just like Jesus Christ was. He knew he was to be a savior for Israel. He was a savior, which, you know, like Joseph was a savior. Noah was a savior. He was the prophet that Jesus Christ was like unto. And there are many things about Moses that Jesus was like unto Moses. Of course, God spoke to Moses face to face, and he certainly spoke to Jesus Christ face to face. And, you know, he worked with Jesus Christ. He was the one that was going to bring about the plan of redemption. He was faithful like Jesus Christ, or like Moses, rather. So he was called by God the meekest man on the earth. You know, and of course, one of the things that's important if you're a man of God to be meek. He received the law from God and the plans for the tabernacle, which foretold the coming Messiah. You know, and everything that had to do with the tabernacle, and then later on the temple, foretold of or had something to do with the coming Messiah. We can never say enough concerning Moses and what a great man he was. And he was certainly the first man in the Bible that was called the man of God. So Moses died, but before he died, God designated Joshua to replace him. So we're going to go back and look at some of the early places where Joshua is talked about. And the first place we're going to go is Exodus 17. Exodus 17. We've looked at a lot of this before, but of course our focus was on Moses, not on Joshua. It says in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And then the rest of the story, of course, is Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And then Moses was on the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. And when he held the rod up, Israel was victorious. When he got tired and his arms came down, then the Amalekites got victorious. And so Aaron and Hur stood next to Moses and held his arms up. And then Joshua led them to victory. So he was designated by Moses, and of course he would have done that by revelation, to lead the men into battle. So that says something about the quality of guy he was, that he was obedient, that he would do what he was told. And as far as we know, Joshua was probably around 30 years old at this time. We'll see, and maybe, I don't know if we get the verse, but it says one place where he was a young man. So let's go to Exodus 24. Exodus 24 and verse 13. Well, it's verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me unto the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua and Moses went up into the Mount of God. So Joshua went with him. And it says here that he was a minister to Moses, which means he served him. That's what a minister is. He's a servant. You know, today we have we look at servants like it's a menial job. But in the Bible, many times a servant was a very, very important job. And in this case, Joshua was the servant of the man of God. So that was a really important job. Okay? So he goes up with Moses to the mount. So he has to be very trusted. And he was with Moses at the time of the golden calf incident also, when he came down. Well, let's go to Exodus 33. Verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended, and he stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So Joshua went into the tabernacle. It doesn't say that God told him to, but apparently he did, because he didn't die. You know, if God didn't want him there and he disobeyed, he would have died. And then when Moses went out, he stayed in. We don't know if anything transpired between him and God, but he was there. Okay, let's go to Numbers 27. So here it says that he was a young man. Numbers 27. Okay, verse 15. Now, this is after God has already told Moses that he's not going to go into the promised land. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation. Because God said, well, you're not going to lead them into the promised land. So Moses said, well, they need a leader. So here he says, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Right? And we see that analogy often with men of God and God's people, where they are looked upon as shepherd and the people as sheep. And if you know anything about shepherds in the East, they were very, very important to their culture, and very trusted and very brave. And when a good shepherd would take care of the sheep would follow him anywhere. So anyway, so Moses says that to God. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. And remember, we said one of the first requirements of a man of God in the Old Testament was he had to have that spirit of God. And here it says he had in whom the spirit is, and lay thy hand upon him. He said, Moses, you lay your hand upon him and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. So what is this? This is a public ordination. This is what this is. It's a public ordination of Joshua. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. He laid his hands upon him and gave him charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So Moses was very obedient, and he did exactly what he said, and Joshua was ordained to take over for Moses. And it said he had the Spirit of God on him. And we've already seen, you know, this is at the time where it's about 40 years now. They're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. And Joshua has been with him since the beginning. You know, way back when they fought Amalek, that's right in the beginning, before they went to Kadesh Barnea. And they got there a few months after they left Egypt. I forget exactly how long, but it wasn't very long. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that who wanted to continue to go in and take over the land. And the other 10 servants or the other 10 spies said no, right? And so Caleb and Joshua, they got blessed and they were allowed to continue on, but that whole generation died off. Okay, chapter 32. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. And this is talking about the, you know, the spies that went in to spy out the land. And this whole group, this whole generation from 20 years old and up were afraid and they followed the 10 rather than the 2. And so God says, well, this whole generation is not going to see it. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. What a great verse. You know, they wholly followed the Lord. Means they had no reservations, they didn't hold back, they were in 100%, and they did what God wanted them to do. And they did what Moses told them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they wholly followed. What a great thing. The other people did not. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. So now, you know, Deuteronomy takes place a short period of time. And Moses kind of gives a refresher course on the law, some of the things that they knew. He tells them some of their history again, how God's delivered them in the wilderness, how he's fed them for 40 years, all this stuff. He's preparing them to go into the Promised Land, even though he's not going to be able to go. And it says in verse 31, chapter 31, verse 1, and Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. You know, you think about that. There was, you know, they say 2.5 million people. I don't know how many were men and women or what the makeup was. But when you're speaking, even if you were speaking to 100,000 people, that's a lot of people to speak to. And usually in modern times, we would have some kind of amplification speaker system. And here it just says that Moses spoke to all of Israel. I don't know how he did it. God must have done a miracle in that. And he set on, yeah, put him in a place where his voice carried. Maybe it was a valley or something, and he stood up high. Who knows? And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. So here, you know, he was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He was 80 years old when he came back. 40 years in the wilderness, he's 120. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God will go over before thee, and he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. So here he again is showing that Joshua is going to lead him. He's going to lead him, and he's the guy. And he says, as the Lord has said. I mean, this is ordained of God. It's not the guy I picked because I liked him, because he was a nice guy and, you know, he gave me a back rub at night or any of that stuff. But it was because he was a faithful servant and he did what God wanted him to do. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Zion and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Okay, pay attention. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. How many times do we hear that in manifestations? You know, we have the same promise from God today that they had in Exodus. Or here in Deuteronomy, I guess. During the Exodus, or the end of the Exodus. Said, I will not forsake thee, I will not fail thee. Be strong and of good courage. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. Now, Joshua was probably standing nearby, so he already heard it the first time, right? So now he's heard it a second time. But here, Moses is talking to him directly. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Wow. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel, so that they would have a record of this, so that they would know. Then we go to verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, the days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers and with this people. And this people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. What a trip. You know, God's done all this. He's promoted Joshua. He's ordained him publicly. He's told Moses what to do. He goes in and he says, okay, now, by the way, how do you think Joshua felt at this point? Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. And I will forsake them, I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, and they will say in the last day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. You know, and that's the whole key, they turn to other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For them, for when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. You know, why? Well, you know, they got full of themselves, right? God took care of them. He brings them into the promised land. They live a good life. And they're living such a good life, they forget that God is the one that provided it. And so they turn to other gods because it's a sense knowledge thing, right? And it looks religious. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you and teach to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that flows milk and honey, they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, and they will turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and be of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with you. Wow, what a great assurance, what a great promise. So, you know, Joshua is given a job, and his job is to bring the children of Israel in. Now, after he brings them in, there will certainly be problems. But it's not Joshua's fault, is it? He's just got to do the job that God gives him. Let's go to chapter 34. There is no 35 of Deuteronomy. And verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Now, that's another title or thing that Moses is called. He's called many times the servant of the Lord. And again, it's not a demeaning thing. It's a very honorable thing, right? He's a servant. It could have been translated a minister, because they mean the same thing. But and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Wow. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, until Jesus Christ, right? Because then he was the prophet like unto Moses. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and in all the servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And so that's, you know, that's the end of Moses, but that's the beginning of Joshua. So we see that Joshua was a young man. He was with Moses for 40 years. He got certainly a great education. He was with Moses. He saw the example of Moses, his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his listening to God, his fellowship with God. And so, obviously, Joshua showed the worth. He showed his faithfulness. And so God chose him to be the leader. And he had him ordained publicly by Moses and Eleazar the priest. And so we're going to start in the book of Joshua. So we saw that he was a young man, about 30 years old. And he was Moses' minister or servant. And he was with Moses the full 40 years, watching and learning. So when Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and he's around 70 years old. Okay? Now it says when they went in, Caleb was 80. So he and Caleb were the oldest guys there at this point, just about. Maybe a couple of the priests that, you know, were faithful, like Eleazar, they were older. But everybody else was younger, right? Because everybody else that was in that other generation, over 20, died off. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. So we saw many times throughout Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy where it talked about how God spake to Moses, right? I mean, numerous times. And here now it says, God spake to Joshua. So we know that this guy, he's tuned in. He's a man of God. He's got God's spirit upon him. God's talking to him. And he is the guy that's going to lead God's people. And then God says to him, and I guess, you know, God took Moses off after they had that meeting. And Moses died and God buried his bones, however he did that, you know. And then he comes to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. And that's, from what I understand in Hebrew, that's a very harsh statement, emphatic. So, now remember we talked about, right in the beginning, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, how the Word of God is given doctrine, reproof, and correction for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped unto every good work, which would be the work of God, right? So at this point in time, we've seen that God equipped Moses. And it wasn't an easy job, right, that he had to do. The good work that every good work that he did was over a 40-year period, and God provided everything that Moses needed. Everything. So now, here, he's going to do the same thing for Joshua. He says, now therefore, arise, go over Jordan, this Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So this is, you know, this is it. This is the promise. This is the promised land that God gave to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob over 400 years before. And it's coming to pass at this particular moment. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. You know, what a great promise God makes to Joshua. You know, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And if you were to look on a map, it's a lot bigger than what Israel ever really was, because they never fully realized the inheritance that God gave them. But it was pretty vast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said that how many times? He's heard this now. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. But what else does he say? He says, nobody will be able to stand against you. Right. And he says, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. Well, he was with Moses. He saw all the things that Moses had to put up with, the rebellions, attempted coups, you know, the things that people tried to do to get rid of Moses. They tried to go back to Egypt. You know, other kings tried to invade and kill them, all these things. And Moses took care of it. God supplied all their needs. And Joshua saw it. He was a witness. And so he says, you know, remember what I did for Moses. I'm going to do it for you too. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Now, this is at least the third time that he's heard this, right? For unto the people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. fourth time at least, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. And how did he want him to be strong and courageous? To do the word, to do what God told him to do, to keep the law, to do everything that God commanded. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So that was the key to the prosperity for Joshua and for the children of Israel, to just stick to the word and don't turn from it from the right hand to the left. Be strong and courageous to do that word. And you know, Moses had to be strong and courageous many times to do the word, right? Because, you know, in the beginning, when God told him to go see Pharaoh, he said, oh man, he could kill me. The people aren't going to believe me. They're not going to follow me. And God said, you just do what I tell you. And he had him throw his staff down and turn into a snake. And he picked it up. He said, put your hand in, take it out. It was leprous. And then he put it back in and took it out. He was healed and so on. And he proved to Moses that he was going to do things for him that were unbelievable, which we read about, you know, at the end of Deuteronomy there. He did those mighty signs and wonders. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Another one. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow. You know, he didn't have Holy Spirit like we did. So when he was alone or he was confronted with something, he couldn't speak in tongues. You know, he had to just take God at his word right there and right then and just believe that God would always be there for him. And he'd speak to God and God would speak to him. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So God tells him all this. He says, okay, this you're going to do it. I'll be with you and I'll take care of you. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go into possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So he says, okay, we've got 3 days to prepare, and then we're going to go across the Jordan, and we're going to go into the promised land. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. They had already gotten their inheritance before they went across Jordan. They had it on the other side of the Jordan, which would be the east bank. Okay? So they already had their land, but God had said, okay, I'll give you this land, but you leave your children here, I'll protect them, and you go and help the other tribes get rid of the peoples that are there. So then verse 14, it says, your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So they're going to leave their little ones and their wives and their animals behind, and they're going to arm themselves and go with the other Israelites to take over the promised land. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that you commanded us, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God will be with thee as he was with Moses. You know, this is kind of cool because they said, you know, we're going to do whatever you tell us, and wherever you send us, we'll go. Remember back in Exodus when God spoke to Israel out of the fire on the mountain? And they said, wow, okay, Moses, from now on, you go and talk to God because we don't want to die. And everything you tell us, we will do. Everything the Lord tells you he wants us to do, we will do. And then 2 days later, they didn't do it. And what happened to that whole generation? They died off. But this is a new generation. They're making the same promise, but this time they do it. They obey. And whosoever he that doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Wow. Pretty cool. Let's see. We can go to chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And most of us know, maybe, and if there's somebody online that doesn't know, I don't think any. Anyway, a harlot doesn't necessarily mean a prostitute. In this case, it could be an innkeeper. She was an innkeeper at the gate of the city or the wall of the city. So she was called a harlot because she would have to deal with men. She would publicly serve them and talk to them and so on. But she wasn't a prostitute. So they went to this place, harlot's house, Rahab, and lodged there. It was a lodging place. It was an inn. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus there came men unto me, but I knew not whence they were. So she said, you know, they came and they said, where are these two guys? She said, they were here, but they left. I don't know where they are. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. So, you know, every night they would close the gates of the city for security, and it was getting dark, and they were getting ready to close the gate. And she said, they left. They went out the gate and left at dark. If you go out and go after them, you'll probably catch them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord... Now listen to this woman. This is really great. I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago, right? 40 years ago, and they still remember. It made a big impression. The children of Israel didn't remember it that long. As soon as they got on the other side, they said, God, you brought us out here to kill us. But these people remembered. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Zion and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. This woman believed in the true God. She's a Gentile. You know, she's not an Israelite, but she saw the miracles that God did for Israel, and she believed. He's God of heaven and God of earth. Now, therefore, I pray you, I implore you, swear unto me by the Lord, by Jehovah, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. She says, and she wasn't just thinking about herself, was she? She said, save my mother and my father and my brothers and my sisters and all we have. Just save us, that we don't die. And the men answered her, "Our life is yours. If ye utter not this, our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town hall wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and thy father's household to home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." So if you keep your word, we'll keep our word. And if, you know, people don't stay in your house, then it's their own fault. And if anybody gets hurt, that's on us. So, and she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." What a difference between the time they sent out the 12 spies to spy out the whole land, and here they just send two guys, and they're convinced that these people are going to just melt away. They're going to just give up, you know. So what a great thing. And I think we'll stop right there. And we'll continue on next week with this whole thing. And we'll see how Joshua develops as a man of God and how he leads the people and blesses them and listens to God. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for taking care of us and watching over us. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for all he's done for us. We thank you for your word and how perfect and wonderful it is, and how we can see the greatness of your word, and how it's so great that the promises that you made them, you make to us, that you'll never fail us, you'll never forsake us. We don't ever have to fear, and we don't have to ever be dismayed. But you're always there for us to guide us, to strengthen us, to help us, to lead us. And we just thank you for this in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.